Welcome to Sports Hour. You're listening to WNYO Sports Hour with your hosts, Aaron Valentino and Brandon Ladd.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Aaron Valentino, Brandon Ladd here with you on Sports Hour on a Wednesday, on a colder Wednesday afternoon, or not a little bit of an overcast, Brandon. It definitely feels like fall out there.
It does. Fall has finally been sprung upon us.
Yeah.
Which the leaves are changing. Everything's
fall has
out
been
there.
Sprung upon us.
Yes.
That is quite. That is, you normally say spring has sprung upon us.
Fall has sprung.
Fall has
fallen on us.
Fall has sprung upon us. You know what I thought of yesterday, actually?
Yes.
This year, we have a running tab of chairs that are going to be thrown amongst the media orgs. We're not going to say why we're throwing said chairs, but the only current tally we have right now is in your office.
Yes.
We don't have one in TOP and we don't have one in NYO.
And I haven't thrown a chair yet.
And you haven't thrown a chair yet.
No.
It's only been Gross and I.
I've thrown two notepads and two pens.
Yes. For no reason, just, you know, just for fun.
Yeah.
But with that being said, I think we need to get a counter going in WNYO studios.
But I feel like nobody has the guts to throw a chair around here.
I threw one.
In here?
Where did I throw it? I'm trying to remember.
Threw one in front of me at the house.
That was a joke.
Yes.
That one was a joke. That one doesn't count. What was
scared?
What was the one that? Well, now I forget. I remember throwing one, but I don't remember what it was for. That's I gotta remember. I'll think of it eventually. But with that being said, I definitely want to get that counter going in here. And another thing that happened yesterday, and it's happening around campus right now. So we talked about yesterday a lot how the Murano Campus Center is being renamed.
Yep.
It's not announced. It's not official. Nobody has said anything. And yet we know it's definitely happening because the freaking letters of the new name of the arena have been plastered on the arena already in broad daylight for everybody to see. Which, why? Like, they're clearly trying to keep it a secret. Like, it kind of happened out of nowhere.
Yes.
They're putting it up and not saying anything about it. There hasn't been an announcement is coming in a few days. They're, like, keeping it. They're trying to keep it very under wraps. And yet, at the same time, everybody knows what's happening.
No, it's kind of weird the way they've handled it. Because now I've gotten the invite to what this actually is. And
yeah, what did this invitation say?
It just said, be there at noon.
No, but what's the title of the event?
It just said naming ceremony. Doesn't say what's being
doesn't
named.
Doesn't say what's being
doesn't
named.
Say anything. It just said wear a suit and show up at noon.
So the Murano Campus Center Ice Arena is being renamed into the Deborah F. Stanley Ice Arena and Convocation Hall.
Yes.
But, you know, when you refer to it as an ice arena, I don't know why we thought we were going to refer to it as the Deborah Stanley Ice Arena and Convocation Hall and broadcast. We're not. It's just going to be the Deborah F. Stanley Ice Arena.
I don't know why Jake acted like
he had to
get the whole...
No, we all thought this.
Yes.
Yesterday, we all said it. But, like, it's already called the Murano Campus Center Ice Arena and Convocation Hall.
Yes.
But nobody says the convocation part because
why
there's ice.
You? Yes.
There's ice on it. So it's clearly an ice arena. But the thing about it that's so funny is they're putting out, like, bleachers in front of the name. They've covered up the name, even though everybody already saw it.
Yes.
Literally, Jake posted on Twitter yesterday, and, like, alumni were like, oh, my God, this is so great. No one has said anything from the school. They're putting up, like, banners and stuff, like, outside thing. Like, clearly something is happening, and nobody has been told what's happening, even though we already know what's happening.
And nobody's also been told about Green and Gold Day, which is happening on Friday as well. President
What's
Stanley.
Green and Gold Day?
So that's where they take that picture. Have you ever seen the picture of me from freshman year where it's like me and Deborah Stanley's four people down from me and we're just smiling and we're all
Why
wearing
were
green
there?
And gold?
Why were you there freshman year?
They found me. So it was in the ice arena and they found me walking the hallway and they're like, oh, want to come in and take a picture with President Stanley? And I was like, yes, of course I'll take a picture with President Stanley. So that's how that happened freshman year.
That's so random.
Yeah, so I found it as a random event.
So that's why they're doing it.
Well, that's why they got the bleachers outside, because they're going to take a big drone photo of everyone wearing green and gold on Friday.
Well, I guess you got to be there. If you're listening to the show, this is the first you're hearing about it.
Yes.
So everybody, make sure you wear green and gold on Friday and take a picture with the departing Deb Stan.
I only found out about this at the SA meeting last night.
Did the SA meeting mention anything about the arena?
No.
Of course not.
No, because Dan Roberts was there and he was like, oh, by the way, Senators, Green and Gold Day is on Friday.
So the school is just like has two major events
yes.
happening that they're just not telling anybody about. That's so weird, right?
It's probably going to be an 8:02 a.m. student announcement on Friday.
That's so weird.
Like, I get the first event because first event wouldn't be open to students, but they also got the groundbreaking of Hewitt on Friday as well. There's like 17 major events.
There's three major events going on on Friday. Really?
Yes.
That's incredible. And nobody's been told anything about any of them.
No.
Where they're happening, what time, when it's happening. Like, that's crazy.
Well, I know, I guess you wouldn't stand out at Penfield for the Hewitt groundbreaking.
And this is the other thing. Not to criticize Deborah Stanley. She's done a ton for the university. She's been here a very long time. She's done a great job, in her time here. But let's think about this, right? Al Roker, the biggest alumni in all of Oswego, gets the television studio. Steve Cohen gets the press box. Steve Cohen. Oh, my God.
Cohen could have the whole university if he wants it.
Yes, if he wants it. Steve Levy gets the press box, right? That's a pretty big one. Linda Cohen just gets a fireplace, which is wrong on, like, so many levels. But think about this. The biggest alumni in the school gets the television studio. That's a pretty big one. But Deb Stanley gets the arena. The selling point of the university, like the big thing of like, look at this. Like, this is the nicest arena in all of Division III hockey. And they're naming it after the president of the school, who is still the acting president.
It's a bit bizarre how this occurred.
No, it's bizarre. It's so bizarre. And again, like, I really don't want to criticize her because I genuinely think she's done a fantastic job. But like, really?
It just comes out of nowhere how this announcement's quietly going to be made.
And it's also been handled horribly. Like, they're like, they put it up yesterday. They're like, oh, we're going to put it up in broad daylight. Nobody will see it at all. Like, really? I have eyes. Like, even if there was no social media, we still have eyes. And the word of mouth is still, like, a very prominent thing.
Yeah, it is.
It blows my mind.
No, they could have done this in 1964, and I think people would know what was going on.
People would have been like, oh, yeah, they're changing the arena. Yeah, I saw it with my own two freaking eyes.
And I'm probably still going to get a strongly worded email about how this wasn't our news to break and blah, blah, blah. Like, I think they honestly thought they were going to hide it.
Yeah. Like, did you really think nobody was going to post it on Twitter?
Yeah.
Like, really? Like, did we really think that? Anyway, that's besides the point. That's just been on my mind all day and all last night. Like, they really thought they were just going to get away with renaming it, not announcing it. And, like, hoped nobody was going to say anything about it.
And I guess if they don't announce this event on Friday, who would know about it?
I know.
After.
Yeah, I know.
So.
All right. Well, to get to the real sports, Yankees, lad, they get a big win last night, 7-2 over the Blue Jays. They're now two games up on the Red Sox in the wild card.
Three games up on the Blue Jays and three games up on the Mariners for that first spot. The magic number is now 3.
Really?
Yep. Magic number is 3.
And get down to 2 tonight with Garrett Cole on the mound for the Yankees. So, good for them. Mets sweep a doubleheader over the Miami Marlins. Noah Syndergaard in game 2 of the doubleheader throws 10 pitches, 1-2-3 inning. He said in the postgame press conference last night he would be grateful for a qualifying offer from the New York Mets.
Well, there you go. That kind of answers the question. Didn't he say he's pretty
sure?
He
wants to pitch here.
Yes, he does.
I mean, he does. Why would he want to leave New York?
That's a fair point. Like, why would Zach Wheeler want to leave New York?
Well, that's different. They picked up, literally, Zach was like, hey guys, I'd love to stay. Can you give me a contract? And the Mets looked at him and said no. Like, think about that.
Yeah.
They looked one of the best pitchers in the game dead in the face and said, nah, we're all right.
It kind of worked out for them in the end. He's done nothing amazing in
Philly.
He's
going to win the Cy Young!
It worked out for him.
Nice! It worked out for him. Didn't work out for the New York Mets.
Well, the Mets' argument would be, well, if DeGrom made it more than 19 games in, he would have been the Cy Young.
They would have had two top 10 Cy Young candidates in their rotation this year.
And Stroman hasn't been shabby this year either.
Yeah, Stroman is going to finish like top 15.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. Oh, it's just so ridiculous. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into the Yankees a little bit more. Plus, lots to get to with football today as well. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. All right, welcome back to Sports Hour right here on WNYO 88.9. Mics were on apparently during the break.
Nice behind the scenes.
You know, it's a nice behind the scenes look about everything that Lad and I talked. Thank God we didn't say anything too egregious.
Thank God it wasn't a normal break for us.
No. Chris, I'm so sorry. I laughed and the cough came out at the same time. Chris and Abby are going to kill me. I'm going to be fired. After the show, Abby also gave us the death stare. You didn't see because I didn't have the on-air light on.
She's ridiculous about that.
You're gonna tell her that right now over the airwaves. She's listening right now.
And I'll say this: nobody can see the on-the-air light. Nobody cares.
Oh my God, we're done after today. I hope you all have enjoyed your year. Plus.
Well, this will be new. I've been suspended in the past from here. Well, now will be termination.
It wasn't a suspension. It was, you know, it was like a rough contract negotiation gone awry.
Yes, it was like a strike.
And you left the station on bad terms.
Yes.
But then you came back.
Yes, I left for like 2 weeks and then I came back.
I'll never forget that text. Unknown strike zone was pulled. I was like, what do you mean? You're like, I didn't make the promo in time. And that was it. That was the end of the unknown strike zone.
Yeah. Sent a nasty email to Jen and moved on with my day.
Did you actually send a nasty email to her?
Jen used to have some nice back and forth back in the day. She was just mind-boggled.
What does that even mean?
She was just mind-boggled why I wouldn't go in and make a promo. I guess that's mind-boggling to everyone.
Yeah, why didn't you? It's also mind-boggling. So you've done some mind-boggling things over the years that people can't, including today. Like, it seems like every day there's something that you do that people are like, what? Why?
No, it's how many times over the years people have said, I just wish I could think what you were thinking for 2 minutes there.
I feel like I've said, what does that even mean to you? At least once a day, every day of our friendship. Like, I feel like I've said it every single time.
Keeps it entertaining.
No, it keeps it vibrant and light and breezy and entertaining. No, you're 100% correct about that. All right, let's get into the Yankees. They get a big win last night over the Toronto Blue Jays by a final score of 7-2. And Brandon, Giancarlo Stanton, he's on right now. He's looking like Miami Marlins, Florida Marlins Mike Stanton right now. That's how good he is at the moment for the New York Yankees.
Yeah, since the name change, I don't think we've seen this. And since he took that ball to the face at the end of August that one year when he was on track to hit 70 home runs, we just haven't seen this from him. And he has honestly put himself in a position to have his first successful postseason with the Yankees. I guess it will depend how far the Yankees
go. He's had a couple big hits in the postseason. I remember last year specifically he hit that big grand slam.
Yes, but overall Judge and Sanchez have outshined him, which is saying something that Sanchez has outshined him over all these years as well. But he continues to stay on fire. It's now 4 home runs and 13 RBIs the last 4 games. Just nobody is better at the moment. This is the key to me. He's been so hot that his batting average is up to .278. It was .230 like a month ago.
No, Giancarlo Stanton is just, you know, this is the player that the Yankees traded for. This is the guy that the Yankees have been waiting to see for a very long time. And we've seen flashes of it. And again, this is another one of those, this is another one of those flashes of it right now. And, you know, you wish he could do these types of things for, you know, an entire season. But he's doing it at the right time.
No, he honestly is. And we were very worried of how cold the Yankees were about a week ago. And it seems like Stanton single-handedly has turned it around for them. Judge also hit a home run last night. So now they're up to 35 and 37 home runs on the season, respectively. So they just keep on going. I think if they stay this hot, it's going to bode well going into the playoffs. So it's happening at the right time, to quote Joey P, even though I'm very careful to say that.
In the last 28 days, Giancarlo Stanton, last month, Giancarlo Stanton is batting. This is actually fascinating. He's batting 304, which is awesome.
Yeah.
His OBP, what do you think it is?
The way you say that makes me think it's low. So like 350?
It's 330.
Oh, so he's just swinging away.
Yeah, he's just swinging away. He's slugging 663.
So we'll give you the pass to swing away.
Which is unbelievable. OPS of 993. The past 7 days. Ready for this?
Yes.
He's batting 500, a 545 OBP, and 1,200 slugging.
No, he's the past week, he has been the most impressive player on the planet.
The OPS plus in the last week is 358.
Yeah.
No, SOPS plus. I don't even know what that means. What's OPS for split relative league?
What this says.
Ready?
Yeah.
SOPS plus is OPS for split relative to league's split OPS.
So
does that make any sense?
Yes. So if it's a split relative to the rest of the league, 100 would be average. So he is 358 times better than what's happening at the moment.
Well, yeah, he is.
Yes.
Over the last month, the OPS plus, or SOPS plus, excuse me, the SOPS plus is 160. The BABIP is 316. Now I'm just saying stats. Nobody knows
anything. We'll have to get the whiteboard out here.
You know what BABIP is, right?
Yes.
That's like the batting average on balls in play, right? Yeah. He's just been absolutely mashing the ball. And that's really what you want from him. And he's had a pretty good year. I mean, you know, we've given I feel like people are really hard on Stan because he just never plays.
Yes.
This year, he's played quite a bit. He's got 493 at-bats on the year. His WAR is pretty low at 3.3. But at the same time, 35 homers, 96 RBIs, slugging 527, OPS of 886. OPS plus for the year is 140. OPS plus for his career is 144.
So he's right where his all-star level when he plays.
Yeah. The best year of his career. Now we're just doing a deep dive on the career of Giancarlo Stanton. The best year of his career in terms of OPS plus was 169 in his MVP year with Miami.
Okay. Was that the year he broke his jaw as well?
I don't know. That year he had 59 homers with 132 RBIs, and he slugged 631.
How many games did he play?
159.
Okay, that was not the year he broke his jaw.
No, this was the MVP year. And actually, I didn't realize this. The Yankees traded for him the next year, so they traded for the MVP.
They did. Think about that. At that moment, it was like they had like a certain amount of former MVPs on their roster, which it just kept it going for them. And I feel like Stanton has taken a back seat to Judge and LeMahieu the past 2 years.
Well, because LeMahieu won. Well, how is LeMahieu? I gotta check in on DJ LeMahieu.
He's been 270 this year. So
yeah, he's not what he was.
No, he's down a bit.
And we were a little nervous about giving LeMahieu that kind of contract.
Yes.
Like, he's a little bit older. The last 2 years have been absolute career years. Yeah. I mean, this year, you're looking at 269, 57 RBIs. Not that that really matters. But OPP of 351. He's only slugging 363. An OPS plus of 98.
Well, I feel like LeMahieu was paid for his contract just by the different positions he played. Like,
yeah,
he
he's
third
been
base
useful.
Last night.
No, he hasn't been useless. He just hasn't been, you know, people were like, hand the dude a blank check. Like, he's not going to be worth that. In, you know,
no.
Even if he's worth it the next year, he's definitely not going to be worth that in 2 years. And he just hasn't been that, which is perfectly fine. But at the same time, Yankee fans were like, hand DJ LeMahieu all of the money in the Steinbrenner's bank account. It's like, DJ LeMahieu? Like, really? That's the guy? We're not Aaron Judge, the dynamic player on the field when he, you know, actually plays, even though he's been playing the last couple years. Yeah, LeMahieu, he's been solid. He just hasn't been what he was.
I'll say this to you. Now that we have the hottest player on the planet in Stanton, Judge is having a great year, and Rizzo and Gallo have had their moments, and we know what LeMahieu can do.
And Garrett Cole.
LeMahieu, Rizzo, Judge, Stanton, Gallo. Is that the best 1-5 going into the playoffs?
Yeah. I think it. Listen, I think this Yankees roster is, you know, one of the best rosters on paper in all of baseball. They just haven't played like it, which is why I think Aaron Boone needs to be fired.
Yes.
Which I've said multiple times. The Yankees should be favored to win the World Series with this roster and Gerrit Cole on it every single year.
No, they honestly
every
should.
Every single year.
Yeah.
And the fact that they haven't lived up to that, kind of, you kind of ask the question, what is the common theme of the last couple years on why they haven't performed up to their expectations?
And this year, you don't have the injury excuse as the common theme.
Nope, that's been a common theme. The Astros aren't cheating as far as we know.
As far as we know at the moment.
As far as we know at the moment.
Yeah, so.
So, what else is there?
Who knows?
Brian Cashman's the greatest GM of all time, so I don't think it's him. Yeah. The owners have been the owners since the 70s, and you know they've literally created multiple dynasties. So what's the issue?
It seems like it might be the manager.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, right. Dude needs to be canned.
And they don't play with analytics. They're too good to play with analytics. They just put who they want out there, and they play. I know, so it does seem like it's the manager.
No, he needs to be. If they don't make the World Series, he needs to be canned.
Important note from last night, Severino pitched another scoreless eighth inning. I think we're setting up to see Severino be the setup man for Chapman in the playoffs, which will look a bit weird.
One note on the playoff race right now for the AL wildcard.
Yes.
The Yankees, you know, they're in first, obviously. The Mariners, the only team who doesn't control their own destiny, half a game back of the Red Sox right now.
No, it's crazy.
Please, God, let it happen.
No,
let the Mariners and Yankees play in the postseason again. Let it happen.
Yeah. Last time that happened, well, it happened in 01, but the Yankees are what derailed that 116
But what's the
season.
Last one? What's the last one everyone remembers?
1995.
Martinez! Down the line! I can't even say it. I can't even say it. It's too high. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the New York Mets, what they need to do in their offseason with Noah Syndergaard. Pitching last night, don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network.
Yeah, I'm out at Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to De Niro. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem. All of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's. Took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry.
And welcome back to Sports Hour right here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Aaron Valentino and Brandon Ladd here with you on a Wednesday. We're playing this song because Noah Syndergaard said he wants to stay in New York.
Yeah, I guess he did.
Yeah, he did say that last night.
Secaucus.
It's not Secaucus, Secaucus. It's a great line from a great show that just ruined itself.
You know what show I want to watch?
What show?
The Sopranos.
Yeah, I know. I want to watch it too because... You know why? That new movie looks awesome.
Yeah, that's what I heard people say. The Many Saints of New York.
It looks great.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, I said to my dad, like, we've thought about watching it a couple times. You know, it's really about my family. Italians from New Jersey.
I feel like it's a little different, but yes, sure.
I mean, it's such an iconic show. And, like, all of our friends last year watched it and said it's, like, the greatest show they've ever seen. I know. We really should get into it.
Yeah. I don't know if I trust their opinion, though. It seemed they were a bit clicky about The Sopranos.
Because they just, like... My mom just texted me he started watching it, so maybe he started watching The Sopranos.
Oh, who did? Your dad?
Yeah, my dad. Mm. He started Ted Lasso recently, and, like, he, like, absolutely loves it. Like, he's like, it's the greatest show I've ever seen. It's so good. You got to catch up.
Is your dad easier to impress with television shows than you? Like, I know, like, you're looking for a certain something, a certain feeling from the TV you watch.
No, my dad and I are pretty specific on what we watch. My mom, too. It's really me, my mom, and my dad. We'll all watch pretty similar stuff. Like, obviously, there's some differences. Like, my mom really loves, like, my mom's favorite show of all time is The Good Wife. Yeah. I've never seen that, have no interest in seeing that whatsoever. my dad also, he likes other shows that, like, I just have no... But it's my sister, really, that doesn't watch anything. Like, I'll mention something to her, like, Oh, like Stranger Things, which is the greatest show on planet Earth. Everybody watches Stranger Things. I'm like, you have to watch it. She's like, that seems boring. It's incredible. Amazing.
Philadelphia's finest right there.
What do you mean by that?
She goes to college in Philly, right?
Who does?
Your sister.
Oh, my sister. Yes. I thought you were talking about the writers of Stranger Things. I was like, what?
That would have been strange if I knew that.
You haven't even seen Stranger Things. No. Yeah, you should. It's awesome.
I like putting on mindless TV, though. Like, you came in that one night when I should have been writing a paper, and I was just slumped watching South Park.
Yeah, that's your favorite. Is that your favorite show of all time?
Yes. If I can put South Park on and just have mindless TV for a couple hours, that's best. Yeah. But I haven't watched TV in 3 weeks now, so
that's
it's
not
a bit
true.
Weird.
I've
what
seen
do you,
you
mean?
Watching TV.
I've watched sports.
No, when I came home that one night.
Yes, that was like 3 weeks ago now.
Was it?
Yeah, at least 2 weekends ago.
And time is morphing together here.
It is.
As like, the semester rolls on.
It seems like Mondays and Tuesdays move slow. Saturdays and
Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays go fast.
Yeah, they do. And then Saturdays, it depends what you do on Friday, how fast that goes.
Yeah. There's just so much to do and just so little time to do it, Brandon.
No, that's the way to think about it.
As I like to say. All right, Noah Syndergaard did pitch last night for the New York Mets, one inning. He didn't do an up and down. He said last night that he expects to pitch again this season, but he will not do an up and down, which is such a weird new term in baseball. Like, the pitcher can go out, throw only 10 pitches, but as soon as he sits down, that's it. He can't go back.
You call that an up and down now?
Yeah, you didn't know that.
I thought that's what we used to
just... Alex Rodriguez talks about it all the time.
I thought
because it's the only pitching term he knows.
I thought we just used to call that pitching back in the day.
Yeah, well, now it's an up and down. He literally said his quote was like DeComo asked him last night, you know, if you do pitch again, which you just said you are, you know, are you going to go more than one inning? Can you do an up and down? And Syndergaard goes, no, in all my other rehab appearances, I couldn't do an up and down, so it would probably just be one inning.
That's mind-boggling.
I know, isn't it
to
weird?
Me.
I'll never get used to it.
But I guess in theory, Severino hasn't done up and down yet.
I'm used to Edwin Jackson and Johan Santana throwing 140 pitches to get the no-hitter complete. You know,
yeah,
that's what I'm used to.
Well, I guess it's a new era.
But with that being said, it does make it interesting. The main thing, the main takeaway from that press conference last night is that Noah Syndergaard said, you know, he would be grateful if the New York Mets did, in fact, offer him the qualifying offer. And he would love to stay in New York. He said multiple times publicly that he would love to stay in New York. And why would he want to leave? He has the perfect personality for it. He pitches well here. You know, he's just a good pitcher who, you know, feeds off the atmosphere really well. That's why, actually, before Jacob DeGrom really took off as like, okay, this guy is... I think that's part of the reason Noah Syndergaard was marketed by Major League Baseball, because... You know, for a while, you didn't know who was really better, DeGrom or Syndergaard. And Syndergaard was seen as the poster boy for the New York Mets staff. Well, obviously, he's not anymore.
Yeah.
But he just has such a great, infectious personality, throws hard. He's got disgusting stuff, like stupid, ridiculously Chris Sale levels of disgusting. Now, if he could control it, he'd be the best pitcher in the game, but unfortunately, he can't. Yeah, as well as DeGrom or Sale can.
He's only had positive seasons. If you look at his four full seasons, 2015, 2016, 2018, 2019, the WAR has always been above 2. One of those seasons, 2018, was a 4.0. In 2016, his best season so far, a 2.60 ERA, a 5.3 WAR, and 218 strikeouts in 183 innings. So there was a stretch from 2015 to 2019. He didn't have a better ERA than DeGrom. He was the Mets' most winning pitcher, though.
Yeah, Mets always seemed to get him run support,
which is weird.
Which was fascinating. But the big takeaway I took away, because I looked up his stats last night, because my cousin said he's not worth the qualifying offer, which is just so ridiculous. Like, come on, it's no Syndergaard we're talking about here. The career ERA plus is 119.
Yeah,
think about that. The career ERA plus of this dude is 119. You're telling me he doesn't deserve to make $19 million? Are you serious?
That seems cheap compared to a veteran replacement you could find. You're probably going to have to pay that
now
type of money.
Now, his argument was that he hasn't pitched in 2 years.
Which is fair.
But modern medicine.
Yeah, I guess modern medicine. You see more guys come back from this than you don't see come back from this.
For reference, Marcus Stroman, who didn't pitch in 2020, his career... Oh, wow. Oh, actually... No, wait. No, that's not his career. For reference, Marcus Stroman, who didn't pitch last year either in 2020, neither did Syndergaard, his career ERA plus, and he accepted the qualifying offer this year, his career ERA plus, 116.
Yeah, so they're in the same boat.
They're in the same boat.
Yeah.
Exact same. Yeah. Syndergaard's a little bit more electric. He is a little throws a little harder, has a little bit nastier stuff. Stroman's more of a, you know, traditional pitcher. He just wants to get you out in any way he can. Syndergaard is more of the modern day guy. Lots of strikeouts, lots of velocity. But again, if they don't have to shell out millions and millions of dollars, which I don't think anybody's going to give him because he hasn't pitched in 2.5 years. But if he, you know, if they don't have to shell out millions and millions of dollars for him this year, that's huge. They just get him on the qualifying offer. They bring him back. They bet on him. He bets on himself. And then the rest of the offseason, they don't have to worry about, you know, extending him.
No, you don't have to worry about it at all. And it kind of just puts it away on day one. And obviously, he would accept it. So there's no drama.
And you know who else wants him to accept it? Well, the fans, Steve Cohen, everybody would want him to accept it. But Marcus Stroman as well.
Yes.
Because that leaves room for him to make hundreds of millions of dollars from the New York Mets. And he deserves hundreds of millions of dollars.
And that's where having Syndergaard put away puts a little less pressure on that negotiation. I think it can be out of good faith instead of desperate faith.
Yeah. Stroman, hand him a $100 million check. Don't care.
That easy?
Yep. 5 years, $100 million. Don't have to worry about waiting for Matt Allen to get here. Don't have to wait for JT Ginn to get here. You didn't sign Kumar Rocker like morons, so now you have less depth in the farm system. Give him the check. Don't care. Just give it to him and have him be here for the next 4 or 5 years.
Oh, that's a great way to think about it. The ERA has been great the past 2 years since
he's been so good.
He has been so good. And you're right. He's a traditional pitcher and he knows how to pitch. There's no worry as he gets older if he's going to lose his stuff or not. That's not what his
game is. He's not a velocity guy.
No.
He's not going to lose, you know, can't lose velocity that he doesn't have.
So that usually makes them even better as they get older.
Yeah, like fine wine.
Yes, it is like fine wine, and we'll see how long it goes. He's 30 now. But you're right, 4 or 5 years, $100 million, move on with your day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anybody outbid you, though?
I think a lot of teams are going to be willing to pay him a lot of money because everyone needs pitching.
Yeah.
I think he wants to stay in New York. He's from Long Island. You know. Long Islanders, they're big Mets fans over there. But he's from New York. He's from the area. He loves the team, or at least he says he does. He loves the team. He loves the city. And if the Mets give him a seven-figure deal over 4 or 5 years, why wouldn't he accept it?
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't think that's, you know, irrational to say. So I think they definitely need to bring him back. I think Baez, you know, I wouldn't give him Lindor money. I would give Baez $150 million. 4 or 5 years, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't even go that far. I don't know what the market for him would be. I think you could look at 2 years, 60... No, 2 years, 55 million. 3 years, 80 million. That ballpark. I don't even know if you'll have to
Javi
go
Baez
into the 100 million.
Javi Baez is...
You're saying?
Yeah, he's an unbelievably electric player. Since joining New York, he has a slash line of 316, 387, 542 with an OPS of 929, an OPS plus of 153. The dude is electric. He's the best defender in the game.
We'll see what the market is because it took a while.
The shortstop market is, there's a lot of hot rod shortstops this offseason. Correa, him, there's Corey Seager. He's going to be getting a lot of money. Somebody's going to pay him. Somebody has to pay him.
Yes, I'm looking up Simeon's contract right now.
Simeon, too. That's another one. Yeah, he's going to get a lot of money.
So we'll see, because Simeon, just to get out of the Athletics, signed the 1 year, $18 million with the Blue Jays. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah. I don't think if you're the Blue Jays, I don't think you can let Simeon go.
Well, he's quietly hit 43 home runs.
I don't know
this
if it's
year.
As quiet as you think it is, but yes, he's kind of been under the radar with, you know, a lot of attention going to Javi Baez and Francisco Lindor and Corey Seager. But with that being said, you know, Marcus Simeon is going to make a lot of money this offseason. All right, that's going to do it for right now. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's time to talk about some really bad football teams. Brandon and I will discuss the 5-0-5 teams. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. To Sports Hour right here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Aaron Valentino and Brandon Ladd here with you on this Wednesday. Two more days of Sports Hour to go today and tomorrow. Finished up TOP Media Day today, Brandon. Again, it was a lot of pressure reading the liner script we wrote for the boys
today. Oh, they
today.
Kept the pressure on
yes,
them?
Yes, yes. Every player, one after, they like talked about it. Ryan Dickinson came back in today just to observe, didn't have the jersey on, had like shorts and a t-shirt on.
Yeah.
And he, and like two of the players, I forget which, are walking in to Jake and I to read the liner. And he's like, dude, I messed up on it like four or five times. So apparently they were all talking about it after, you know, after they left.
And you tell me it wasn't that hard of a script.
Well, you know. It's a lot of pressure to read something in front of a mic for a long period of time if you're not if you're not, you know, used to it.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's not easy doing promos for the people that do it either.
You know, they're hockey players.
Yeah.
They don't, you know, why do they care about, you know, media stuff or reading things or doing extra stuff to make it look nice. But yeah, it was fun. Finished early, which was nice as well. So yeah, hockey season right around the corner. Like 18 days away?
Yeah, 17, 18 days.
17, 18 days away, which is super duper exciting. The Deborah F. Stanley Ice Arena, it's in its inaugural season.
It's going to be rocking.
Oh, it's going to be rocking. Absolutely. Let's talk about some bad football teams. There are five teams remaining who have 0 wins on the year. That, of course, is the Jets, Giants, Jaguars, Colts, and the Detroit Lions. And Brandon, you know, what I want to kind of talk about is here is which team do you think is the best? We're kind of going to do the power rankings of the 0-3 teams. What is the best 0-3 team and what is the worst 0-3 team?
Do you want to go best to worst or worst to best?
Let's go worst to best because I think we can both agree on which team is the worst. That, of course, is the New York Jets.
Yes, we can both agree on that at the moment.
The offense looks bad. Mike LaFleur... You know, play calling isn't good.
No.
I thought it would be better. It's not. The defense looks pretty good.
Yes.
I will say. They're just on the field so much because Zach Wilson keeps giving the team the ball back. They've just looked so bad. And Zach, you know, I don't even know if I can say he's looked bad. But he's looked pretty bad.
Yeah, there's been 6 moments where he's looked bad.
Yeah.
But it's one of those where I don't even think you could be like, yeah, if he doesn't turn the ball over there, they have a chance. Because I don't think they're quite to that point, which is as bad as last year. I'm not going to say that quite yet. The defense is better. And Wilson's a bit more inspiring behind that bad offensive line. But still, this might go on for a bit.
And you've said it yourself, without me here, so I know that I know it's true. You're not just lying to my face. He's got talent.
Yes, he does.
It's just about developing that talent and making the right decisions.
As Romo would say, Justin Herbert special to the left.
I don't know about Justin Herbert, but That's really one of the things I took away from that Chiefs Chargers game is, you know, Tony Romo was gushing about Justin Herbert as he should. I mean, Justin Herbert is, you know, he's awesome. And you looked at me and said, actually, he is really good.
No, he honestly is.
Justin Herbert is, you know, top 10 in the league?
Potentially. I mean,
maybe.
On the NFC side right now, I think you're dealing with.
He's really freaking good.
Yeah. And there's a lot of good quarterbacks, though, because, like, on the NFC side, you're talking about Rodgers, Wilson, and Brady already. That's the guys you got to talk about.
Three of the greatest QBs ever.
Yes. And I think Dak every single week makes a point to be right there with them.
Mahomes.
Yes. And then Mahomes, I don't know, because then you're like Lamar Jackson and Tannehill, but are they as talented?
No, Lamar Jackson is. I don't know about Ryan Tannehill. Kyler Murray.
Yeah. Yes.
But he's kind of similar to Justin Herbert.
No, a talent factor right now, I would say Mahomes, Herbert, and Murray are in a league of their own.
Yeah, they're unbelievable. Not from a football standpoint, but raw talent. It's unbelievable. Because, Mahomes isn't even raw anymore. Yeah.
Because raw talent, you would say Brady's probably bottom third of the league.
What is this? His, you know, fourth year playing, fifth year in the league?
Yeah. Fourth year playing, fifth year in the league.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's, you know, he's on a level as well. But the Jets are definitely the worst team. I think we both agree. The Giants, second worst team, pretty bad. They've been close in pretty much every game. Not every game, but they've been close in a game. Probably should have won a game already this year. They are the second worst in my eyes.
I would put the Jags as my second worst. I honestly feel Jones.
Lawrence has been bad.
He has been bad, and Daniel Jones is a proven, can win games quarterback. It just seems like when he plays well, everything falls apart next to him, and when the team plays well, he can't hold on to the ball. So it just seems like they're never on the same page.
Yeah, they're not. They can never quite get it right.
No.
Together. Yeah, Jaguars. I mean, listen, I saw the Urban Meyer thing blowing up, you know, hundreds of thousands of miles away, like so bad. I thought it was terrible. And I said this, and everybody was like, you don't know what you're talking about. Urban Meyer is an absolute legend, and he's going to make Trevor Lawrence even more a football Jesus. And I didn't think it was a good idea.
Well, what was it? Etienne, who also was the running mate with Lawrence, he goes down to the Jags as well, and
he's out for the year.
He's out for the year. So that was a big hit there. So I just don't think there's anything amazing around Lawrence right now.
Yeah, but like, you know, he just hasn't even, like, he hasn't even really like shown flashes of anything that he was at school.
No, and Wilson
and Urban Meyer, there's already like rumors going around that he's looking for another job.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit early to jump ship, but I've seen more out of Wilson that impresses me than I've seen out of Lawrence.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. And, so yeah, I don't know. Jags look pretty bad. I didn't think the Urban Meyer thing was a good idea, and I still don't.
Is it going to be like Joe Burrow's, though, where it's like at some point this just clicks for Lawrence, and like where it might take a year or two for Wilson, it's like, oh, this happened in week five.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing with that much talent.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he could come out next week and throw four touchdowns, but we'll see. Colts and Lions. What do we think? I think the Colts are better than the Lions. I don't think the Lions are good. I don't think Jared Goff is good. Mm-hmm. But I think the Colts are the best 0-3 team.
I've been thoroughly impressed with the Lions' resilience. Like, they were in it for a half against Green Bay. They made a feverish comeback against the 49ers, and then they played the Ravens tight and would have won that game if it wasn't for the greatest kick in NFL history. they got the Bears this weekend, so I guess we'll see. Right now, I got the Colts and Lions even because, in my mind, Goff and Wentz are two overrated quarterbacks that can be in the same category.
I think Goff is just a bad quarterback. I think he had one good year, and it was the year he went to the Super Bowl and then made a ton of money, and now...
But you don't put Wentz in that category?
Wentz isn't fair just because his body breaks down. Like, I think Wentz could have been a top 10 quarterback in the NFL if he didn't tear his ACL.
Yeah, that's fair. They both had their moment, and then it's fallen apart.
I mean,
Carson
Wentz was going to win the MVP. Like, that was set, confirmed, game, set, match. Carson Wentz is going to win the MVP back in, what year did they win the Super Bowl?
It was like 2017.
2017, right?
Yeah.
2017. Yeah, 2017. Like, that was game, set, match. Yeah. We're going home. Carson Wentz is the MVP. And then he tore his ACL with 4 weeks left. And then he was never the same.
No, he wasn't. So it's one of those. And then Foles wins.
And then Foles wins the Super Bowl.
Yes, which that team was special. But I guess either way you look at it, Lions and Colts, I don't see them doing anything this year, but they are the best of the worst.
You know who's playing really well?
Who's that?
Matthew Stafford.
Well, I saw Stephen A's A-list this morning. Rams the best team in the
People
NFL?
People are saying the Rams are the best team in the NFL.
I honestly feel they are. Guess who he had on number three?
Who?
The Cowboys.
Cowboys playing really well.
Yeah,
and he hates the Cowboys.
Some impressive play from, I guess, teams we didn't fully expect.
Dak
from.
Is good.
Yeah.
You know, you can't deny it. You look at it. It's not pretty to look at.
No.
But you see the results and you're like, Dak's a good quarterback.
No, it's one of those where he'll throw a ball and it hits his receiver and it's like, I would have liked to see a spiral there, but who the hell cares?
Yeah,
we move on with our day.
Move on and got yards.
Yes.
As we've been saying to the Jets every single week, let's get yards.
No, it doesn't matter how it looks. Just get the yards.
Just get the yards. Rams are playing the Cardinals this week. Then they'll play the Seahawks. So they got a tough schedule coming up. That'll be a big test for Matthew Stafford. But every week, you know, the first 2 weeks, you're like, they played the Bears. Hi, Abby. What's going on? Abby's waving to us. I think she's talking smack about us. The first 2 weeks, you're like, they played the Bears. They played the Colts. Well, they played the Bucks and beat them by 10.
Yeah.
So they've been playing really well. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will wrap up the show. No Hot Corner today. And we will get you on out of here. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Welcome back to Sports Hour right here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Aaron Valentino, Brandon Ladd with you for a couple more minutes here.
Aaron Valentino, a Bowling for Soup simp.
Just this song. I don't know any of their other songs.
We looked up the photo that one day and it got scary.
It is scary. Scary hours.
Scary hours, as we like to say.
As James Harden likes to say. I don't really know what we're talking about here. Normally, Jamie Gross bail us out, but they're not doing a show today, and we have nothing to predict. By the way, you didn't do Picks of the Week.
Yeah, I did. I texted you.
No. Yesterday. Or Monday.
Well, yeah, we all picked the Cowboys.
Also, you told me you were going to edit the pod on Monday.
2 days now.
Didn't do it, but
here's
the best part about it. Ready?
Yes.
So you said, I'm like, do you know how to pull the audio from the logger? You're like, yeah. I looked yesterday. You didn't pull Monday's audio.
Well, I emailed it to myself.
You didn't put it in the drive?
No.
All right, well, then you have to edit that one.
Yes.
There's no choice. That one you have to edit.
So now I'm looking at three in front of my face?
Well, I mean, we'll get to it eventually. But I don't have my normal Friday time to edit them. We'll see how long it takes to set up this new Comrex. But
is that happening at Friday's meeting or tonight's meeting?
Setting up the new Comrex? That's happening right after the show.
Oh, today?
Michael Orr and I are taking a look at
That's exciting.
Yeah, no,
it is exciting. Begonia printer's down. I've gotten a lot of flack for that.
Yeah, you weren't able to fix that.
No, fix the ink, and then I got on my computer and says, printer out of ink, and I said, sir, what? And I have not been able to fix it. I don't know the administrative password.
Great.
So
that's great. I will say, the Begonia is a much more welcoming environment this year.
Than it used to be.
Walked in there last night, said hi to everybody, fixed the chair counter. Everybody was fit. You know, they might have not been happy to see me, but they acted like they were happy to see me.
Everybody's happy to see each other.
Yeah, everybody is happy to see each other.
It's good to be back.
It absolutely is. Unlike Ben, who I tried to get in there just to say hi last year and was yelled at and given death stares. So,
you like the work environment.
Yeah, no, it's quite the work environment that was last year. All right, well, I guess that's going to do it for today's show. If I could get to the outro, if I could get it. Joey, punch it.
Punch it, Joey.
Punch it, Joey.
Sends me to death.
That is going to do it for today's edition of Sports Hour. I hope you had some fun with us today. Bowling for Soup hasn't finished yet because this is such a short block. There we go. That's going to do it for today's edition of Sports Hour. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow back here at 3 o'clock.